Lord, how we thank you and how we bless you. And you are so mighty to save, Lord, that you were able to reach way down and save us. Thank you for your El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Mighty enough to capture us, Lord. Transfer us from darkness to light. Even when we didn't want to be transferred from darkness to light. But that's how mighty you are. And you did it for all of us. And you would have done it just for one of us. Thank you in your awesomeness and your mightiness, Lord. That's why we're humbled before you. So grateful because you didn't have to, but you did. If you don't do anything else, you've done enough. Thank you for rescuing us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. We love you for that, Lord. We bless your holy name this morning. Speak to us now through your word. We know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way. It shows us how to walk, how to talk, how to act, how to think, how to feel, how to discern. Thank you for this word, Lord. Breathe life into it. Let it jump off the pages right to our hearts. Not only will it change our hearts and our life, but it'll change our lifestyle as well. Holy Spirit, continue to rule and reign, challenge and convict, comfort and care. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 12 is where we'll pick up and continue. And family, I want to continue to challenge us to study the Proverbs daily, to minister to God daily, to wake up and pray and fast daily, as we're in the second month of the year. Don't let any more time go by before you, if you haven't already, to make that commitment. So I was reading the Proverbs this morning, Proverbs 21:1. First one says that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the channels of water. He turns it whichever way he wants to. It just liberates us from worrying about stuff. Because God takes that heart and turns it either towards you or away from you, and God knows what's best. So either way, you have to be cool with it. That's just 21:1. Chapter 21 was filled with insight. Let it be your guide. Let God's word guide you. And then remember Mark 5:36, where Jesus tells Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. Whatever that situation is, don't be afraid. Only, despite what everybody else was coming up telling him, despite all that he saw, Jesus whispered in his ear, don't be afraid, only believe. So as we're ministering to God daily and as we're going through day-to-day life, stand on that word, don't be afraid, only believe. Our whole life is lived trying to see if we really believe what God says is true. And if God really is who he says he is. And the enemy will do everything each day to distract you, to make you doubt and fear and worry. And we're in the middle of that. Will you believe or will you worry? Amen. So stay in the word, because there's too much going on to be outside of the word. It's so here we go, the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 12. Book of Colossians is four chapters. First two chapters talk about why we must believe, and then that's 1 and 2, and then 3 and 4 talks about what we must do. So 1 and 2 tells us why we believe, why we must, why we should believe. And then chapters 3 and 4 says, now, since you believe, this is what you must do. Remember, Ephesians talked about the body. Colossians talks about Christ as the head. So it focuses more on the deity of Christ in Colossians. So as we're going through the casting off or putting aside the old man and stepping into the new, I hope to make it plain through the scriptures why we should put on the new and get rid of the old. If you're let's say you're at the edge of a cliff. Anybody ever been to the Grand Canyon? Yeah, it's kind of nice, right? Yeah. And if you were to jump off the ledge, all right, with the old man you have on a backpack, with the old man you have on a backpack filled with rocks, the new man is a parachute. All right? And so in life, why are we walking around with a bag of rocks with the old? So I said, Cat, get rid of that and put on the new, put on the parachute. As you're going through life and the deal with the cliffs of life. And I'm challenging you, get rid of the backpack full of rocks. That's the old. It's been weighing you down. It's been weighing some of us down for too long. And I hope the scriptures convince you with the deity of Christ to put on the new. We'll get to that, but I want to share why. So verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us or has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. All right. So make a note. We should be giving thanks unto the Father because he's qualified us through Jesus Christ to be partakers of the inheritance that God has for us. Of the saints in light. So we have an inheritance, and we talked about it last week. Fill in the blank. Is it worth forfeiting your allowance? Is it? And whatever your it is, that's the blank you fill it in. And the question is it worth you forfeiting the allowance, the inheritance that God has for you? I don't know what your it is. You might not know what my it is, but the question is it worth it? Me forfeiting what God has for me. But then I have to believe that God really has an inheritance for me and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If I don't believe that, then I'll live any kind of way because it doesn't really matter to me anyway because I don't believe it. Verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He's delivered us. Look, first he delivered us from the power of darkness. All right. So we have a choice because we've been delivered from the power of darkness. And then he's translated or transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son.
Praise God.
But first he delivered, then he transferred. He didn't just bring you there with all the stuff. He didn't just bring you to the kingdom with all the stuff. He delivered you first. So now I have a choice of how I'm to live this Christian life. Since I've been delivered from drugs, and somebody can say amen, and alcohol and lust and lying and gossip and depression and anger. I've been delivered and I've been transferred. I have a new boss now. So I have a choice on how to live. I don't have to live the same way since I've been delivered and then transferred into the kingdom of his dear son. Don't miss that. He delivered us first from the power of darkness. I have a choice. I don't have to live like I used to. I don't have to walk around with that backpack of rocks on my back. And verse 14 is beautiful. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins. In the Greek, the word redeem, redemption, it says a release effected by a payment of a ransom. So I guess we were all kidnapped by darkness, by the power of sin. And then God's redeemed us. He's released us. He's paid the ransom so that we can be released through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And we've all seen the movies where someone's been kidnapped and then you have to pay a ransom in order to get them set free. Amen. That's what God is saying right here in the word. We all were kidnapped and hijacked by the enemy. Thing was a thing. We didn't even know it. I mean, we didn't even care. We actually liked it. Then God said, I didn't create you to live like that. I didn't create you to function like that. I got to release you. I have to give you the option to know that you've been released. Now you have the choice to either be released or to stay where you are. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When you talk with your friends and others who are not saved and they, and you're just trying to minister to them, just ask them a question, a simple question. How are your sins forgiven? What do you do to have your sins forgiven? And if they tell you they don't sin, then you get away from them because they're crazy. That's the person you don't want to deal with any longer. You get on away from them. Say, in this crazy world with everything that's happening, you don't have to get deep with folks. Just say, well, what do you do for the forgiveness of your sins? How are you redeemed? What covers your sins? What covers your sins? Well, you just need to think about that. That's it. Don't get too deep with them. Just say, what covers your sins? Well, you know, I haven't sinned in years. What? Really? Are you sure? Okay. And then you get on the way. All right. I got to roll. Man, you pull your phone out. Look, oh, man, I got to go. Sorry. I got an emergency. I got to get out of here. Get on away from them. It's a beautiful thing what God did for us. It's a beautiful thing because we couldn't do it ourselves. Then we get to verse 15. So this is why we put off the old and embrace the new. And we'll get into that when we get into chapters 3 and 4. Because God's forgiven us. He's transferred us. We have an inheritance in Christ. And I don't think it's worth you and I missing it, whatever our it is. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God? Talking about Jesus Christ, the firstborn of every creature. Jesus is the first.
Yes, he is.
And when it means the firstborn, it talks about when he was resurrected. And for all those that have born again, because we know that Jesus is part of the Trinity. He's always been here. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1, and the Word was with God and the Word was God. But he's saying Jesus is the firstborn of every creature. He was born again. He's the first. He's the top rank. He's the number one. And we talked last week, what's the highest in the military? And Brother Clarence and I, he kind of helped me out. It's the commander in chief, which would be our president. You don't get any higher than that. Well, Jesus outranks him. Jesus outranks everyone. That's what makes him God in the flesh. And so the question was, and the question is, who is your number one? Who is your highest ranking officer in your life? Who do you answer to? And you can't say yourself because that's not good. It's not good at all. Look at verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Man, this is deep. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth. So this is talking about Christ. It's talking about the preeminence. It talks about how Christ is overall, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones. That's why God tells us to pray for all those in authority. God created all the leadership. He created all the hierarchy. It was built based on the word of God, where we had in the Old Testament, you ever read the book of Judges, and it talks about the law and all that. That's why we have all these things. And then we try and deny God and say he doesn't exist, but he created everything, visible and invisible. He created your job. He created your boss. He created you. That's why we look to God. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to our purpose in God. Let me say that again. The closer we get to God, then we're able to see what God has for us. Remember, we should never say, well, what's my purpose? Your purpose is to make disciples and build the kingdom. Remember, our method is different. Our method might be different. You might be a teacher. You might be a doctor, a lawyer. You might have your own business. That's your method of making disciples and building the kingdom. But your purpose, a Christian should never ask the question, do I have a purpose? I feel like I don't have a purpose. Well, then you haven't studied the scriptures. Because Jesus said, go ye therefore, and make disciples. That's our purpose. But our method is different. But that's our purpose. And God created everything. He created you and I. And the closer we get to God, then we can see clearly what method he wants to use us to reach others. It's in everything invisible. I mean, you think about it. He's visible and invisible. I mean, we can't live without God. What's that? That's air. That's oxygen. That's carbon dioxide. It's gravity. It's energy. It's matter. It's thoughts. It's fruits. It's vegetables. It's gold. It's diamonds. Everything. He created it all, seen and unseen. Make a note, Proverbs 3:15. That's why it says the wisdom is God. The wisdom of God is more to be desired than rubies. And silver and gold. Why? Because God created that stuff. People put stuff on top of God. And God created it. And then people want to, man wants to think all of a sudden he created God. But God created us. And then they want to tell us about the Big Bang Theory and how everything came together and we get this. And we get you as beautifully and fearfully and wonderfully as you are made. You just didn't happen. God created it. He created us. We didn't create God. We would like to think we created God so we can do our own thing and feel good about it. But then we have to answer to God. God created everything. Morals, values, the wind, the rain, everything. You can't get away from God. God created science. And then the scientists want to try and prove there's not a God. And he said, I created you and science. That's why you have to study the word. Otherwise, you live your life on a tangent. Way out somewhere. And then, well, how do we know God exists? We talk about the practicality of it. How Jesus Christ split time in half. He was the only one, the only person that claimed to be God. When you study Buddha, Buddha did not claim to be God. The prophet Muhammad did not claim to be God. Hare Krishna did not claim to be God. There's a lot of weirdos that have claimed to be God. But when you look at the major religions, none of them. Jesus said, no, I'm God. You destroy this temple in 3 days, I'm going to raise it back up. And he did. And he split time in half. And time stopped and started over. And here we are in a new year. And most people say Happy New Year and don't even realize that Jesus split time in half, which caused it to be a new year. The evidence is all around. It all depends if you believe that God is who he said he is. What do you commit your life to? Study the scriptures to know. Verse 17, and he is above all things. Somebody underline that. Paul is preaching to the church at Colossae. He's saying Jesus is above everything. When he was talking to the Ephesus, he was talking about how we need to be united, how we need to be together. And now he's at this church. They had that They had that down pat. But he said, you got to remember who God is. And he's above all things. And by him, all things consist. We can't do anything without God. And he is the head of the body, the church. So he's the head of this church, not the pastor, not the board, the executive board, but Jesus Christ. We can never lose sight of that. The minute we think that we're doing something, we're in trouble. God help us if we ever think that we're doing something apart from God. All we're trying to do is follow what God has done for us. He's above all things. He's the head of the church. He's the firstborn, verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? Somebody underline that. He's the beginning. The firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Somebody underline all things. Preeminence means he wants number one. He wants to be number one. He wants number one place in your life. So here's the question. Am I full of questions this morning or what? What has first place in your life? That's the question. It's between you and God, and you have to answer that. Let me make it a little bit plainer. How about, let's just work this week. This past week, what had first place in your life? Think about your week and what were you preoccupied with that had first place in your life? Anger, lust, worry, doubt, fornication, adultery, gossip, depression. What had first place in your life this past week? Love, joy, peace, faith, meekness, self-control. What had first place in your life this week? And then let's take it back just a little bit further since we're at February 20th. This month, what's been preeminent in your life? What's had first place this whole month? You can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop talking about it. You can't leave the house because you're worried about it. Can't get a good night's sleep because it has first place in your life. And only you can answer that question. Christ says he wants preeminence in your life. He wants first place. He doesn't just want your heart and your life. He wants your lifestyle. He wants first place in all three. Ivy, I know my mic was tripping earlier. Did you got it going? Did you cut it off though?
No, I turned it up.
You turned it up. Okay, you fixed it. All right. I know it was tripping earlier. I did hear all that feedback. All right. But you got it together, right? You didn't cut it off.
I promise.
Okay. Thank you, Ivy. Only you can answer that question. What has first place? And that's between you and God, and you got to deal with that. You know, we all have to deal with that. I have to deal with it. When I'm studying to share with you all, when I'm studying during the week, I get excited and then I get like convicted too. So I just don't come and say this. I'm living this thing too. I'm all excited and I read. Yeah, I'm excited reading one part. And I read the other part. I go, oh man. That's what makes it sharper than a two-edged sword. It just cuts right to the heart. It makes you examine yourself. That's why most people don't want to read it, because when you read it, it's like a mirror that you have to examine yourself. I can't think about how my wife might be acting, or how the kids might be acting, or how the boss or anything, how the church. I got to examine myself and go, man, you got to get it together. That's what the word does. It's the power of the word. That's why most people avoid the word. But it makes me examine who does have preeminence in my life. So who has first place in my life? I got to deal with that. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And you can put by that the Trinity. The fullness of God dwelled in Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God. He was just as much God as he was man, and he was just as much man as he was God. That's why when we stand before Christ, we can't say, you don't know what it was like living in 2016 with social media and smartphones and dumb phones and all this other kind of stuff. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like to be betrayed and stabbed in the back and let down. And be offered everything to sell your soul out. He's going to say, hold up. I got offered everything to sell my soul out. Judas did stab me in the back. And then I got beat. And then Peter, all my homies ran and left me. Nobody wanted to have anything. But God, you know, yes, he does know. He understands your pain. But he don't know what it was like when my child died. He said, well, actually, they killed me. I do know what it's like. All the fullness in him dwells. He understands everything. He can relate to our pain. He can relate to our success. But he says, I'm cool with everything. You just keep me first. I need first place. Don't get distracted by the temptations and the frustrations and the deception. Verse 20, and having made peace, underline that, we're free from havoc. Peace is to be free from havoc and strife. Having made peace through the blood of the cross. Boy, this is some solid doctrine right here. This is perspective doctrine. You're not going to get peace because your 401k looks nice. That'll give you a temporary peace. You're not going to get peace because you got a promotion or because you got married or you got divorced. Are you single? Are you had a kid? Are your kids moved out? Well, you get a little bit of peace when that happens, but that's only temporary. Because then they come right back. Or if they don't come back, they call with stuff. Amen. But that's not where the peace comes from. It can't be in stuff. Family, our peace can't be tied to stuff. It has to be tied to the blood of the cross. Can't be tied. You can't. You will go crazy when you react to everything that happens in your life. When it makes you happy or it makes you sad. That's why Christ said, give me first place and we stay even keel. And he tells us to pray and not faint. Just pray. Don't fall apart. And then he tells us, don't be afraid. Just believe. You got to be number one so you can hear that voice. Many of us in here, present company included, we those of us that are not so young folks here, is don't tie your happiness to stuff. Don't tie your peace to stuff. Stuff comes and goes. You can't tie it to. You know, what you look like and all that kind of stuff, that stuff fades. It fades away. It has to be tied to Christ. It comes and goes. It has to be rooted, and that's what it talks about it even more in the scriptures. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Somebody highlight that. To be reconciled. And I looked up reconciled. It says to bring back to a former state of harmony. So God has brought us back to the former state of harmony. God's not upset with us because of the blood of the cross. Now it's all good with God. It's good. It's peace. It's not sin. God's not upset with us anymore because of the sin in our life, because the peace has been made through the blood of the cross. We're not going to feel the wrath of God. We get the grace of God because of the peace of the cross, through the blood of the cross. It says to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. It's all been reconciled through the cross. Verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind. That's why we're studying the battlefield of the mind. Somebody say amen. Because that's where it starts. It starts in the mind. Boy, that mind is something else. You got to keep your mind sharp. Got to keep it saturated with the word. The mind will try and tell you some crazy stuff. And you, which is all of us, that were sometime alienated, which means separated and enemies in our mind by the wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Somebody say amen. He says, it's all good. I know what you were thinking. I know what you were into. I know what you used to do. But right now, because the blood of the cross, it is all good. Somebody say amen, because it was some crazy stuff that we used to do. Some crazy thoughts we used to have. We still get those crazy thoughts, but we bring them under subjection. Like, what am I thinking about? God, help me. What is my mind thinking about? Verse 22, in the body of his flesh. This is how it happened. In the body of his flesh through death. Something had to die. Something always has to die. From the first sin, something had to die. You go back to Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve ate the fruit. It didn't say the apple. People say apple, but it just says fruit. And then the sin came in and they hid from God. And then they went and tried to sow fig leaves to cover them up. So we shouldn't be covering. We should be confessing. Stop covering and start confessing. That's what they should have done. But then God, in his grace, he still covered them with animal skins. He walked around with a fig leaf. He covered them with animal skins in his grace. But something had to die. An animal had to die. Something had to be sacrificed. Even for them to be covered, something had to die. God was always giving us types and shadows. When sin comes in, something has to die in order for you to be covered. That animal had no idea what was going on, but he knew that things were messed up because he had to die and they got covered. Wasn't like this before. And then the ultimate is Christ dying for our sins to cover us if we believe. And believe means that we commit to that. We surrender to that. Some people, remember, in James it talks about how the devil believes and they tremble. So they're not committed to, they just believe. So you just can't believe and say, I believe in God. That's, I talk about it all the time. That's just the same level as a devil. And you can't be on, you don't want to be on the same level as a devil because all they do is believe. They're not committed to God. They recognize God because when Jesus came, they say, you are the Son of Christ. Why you come to torment us before our time? He was casting out devils. They knew who he was, but they weren't committed to him. You just can't know. You just can't believe. That belief goes deeper, it's a commitment. All right, let me. Verse 22. Oh, well, it was reckoned, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Remember, something has to die. To present you, he presented us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Amen. I know that's right. Amen. Thank you. Because without that, we just would see, God would see us covered with a fig leaf. And that would not be good. But here it is, verse 23. Our whole relationship with Jesus Christ comes down to two letters, IF. If, it's always a condition. Our whole relationship with Jesus Christ comes down to two letters, IF. There's a theory out there. I mean, well, it's a doctrine out there called the inclusion theory that says that everybody, when Adam sinned, it affected everybody, brought them into sin. And when Christ died on the cross, it affected everybody. It covered everybody. So whether you live for Christ or not, you're covered because that's the inclusion doctrine. But right here, it contradicts the inclusion doctrine because, well, the scriptures It says, if you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So there's an action you have to take. You're just not covered. It comes down to these two letters. If, verse 20, if you continue in the faith. See, you're covered. You see the semicolon at the end of verse 22, which means as follows. IF. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away. Don't move. Don't change your address. You're with God. Now you change your address and God can't find you. So don't move away from God. Don't change your address. Don't let the enemy convince you to move. Don't let him get you distracted where you move away from the hope of the gospel. Oh, that's a beautiful thing right there. Which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Everybody has a chance to get it together, to hear the gospel, to have a second choice, second chance to be born again. We do have a choice. And so if you continue in the faith, and that's where we're going to pick it up next week. You don't want to miss it. The news gets better. We'll pick it up next week. So if you would, let's just bow our heads and let's close out in prayer. And family, from the worship to the word, God has been speaking to our hearts. God's been ministering to our hearts. Thank you, Lord. What a great day just to hear the voice of God. God sharing how he redeemed us, how he loves us, how he cares for us, how he's covered us. How Jesus Christ has preeminence. Whether we commit to Jesus Christ or not, he still has preeminence. He is still first. He's still the highest ranking officer. There's nothing higher than Jesus Christ. In heaven above or below here on the earth, there's nothing higher than Christ. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us. Help us get our life in perspective. Help us get our life in order according to your word. We'll never know what you can do, Lord, until we surrender completely to you. We'll never know. We don't want it to allow us to forfeit our inheritance in you. So I'm praying right now, Lord, for anyone who might be here. Say, well, Pastor, and we don't take it for granted. Maybe you've never accepted Christ. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Say, Pastor, that's my first step. I got to accept Christ. That's where I got to start believing. I got to believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And that in him I have peace. Not in all this other stuff, but in Christ I have peace. If that's you, you've never accepted Christ, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you just want to rededicate your life. Get back on track. Get back in position. Give God that number one position. God, you weren't even a close second or third. I don't even know if you were even in a race or in the runnings. But God, I want to elevate you back to where you belong, to have preeminence over my life. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home, you've been visiting, and you haven't joined, and you say, okay, Pastor, I'm going to do it today. If that's you, I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family here. We're more than members. We're family. If that's you, elevate your hand. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord, for being with us here today. Thank you that this service was filled with your spirit, from the worship to the word, the presence of God. reminding us how much you love us, how much you care for us. Now, Lord, here's the challenge, that we just don't leave that spirit here, but we take it home. Praying now, Lord, that we all would take Christ home with us. Let the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of your presence would reign in our homes Sunday through Sunday. It's not just a Sunday thing, but it's a Sunday through Sunday thing. You have preeminence Sunday through Sunday. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. Leaders, we're meeting upstairs in about 5 minutes. Give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.